This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. It is that day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Mr. Kurt Rogers joins us in studio today. Good to see you, sir.
Nice to see you also.
Have a good Easter.
It's not just today your money matters. Your money matters
all the time. I'm telling you, yeah. Both nickels I have matter, yeah, I promise.
You can't even tell the face on the front of them anymore,
exactly.
Right? Because they're rubbed together.
How was your Easter?
Mine was very nice. You were out of town having a family issue going on.
Yes.
The weather here was wonderful. It was just a beautiful day. A little too windy. Colorado's getting a little more wind than what we're used to,
mm-hmm.
which causes more concern about fires.
Right.
But it was a wonderful Easter. We call it Happy Resurrection Day.
Sure, absolutely. And so you don't think anything weird going on with my family. My father actually passed away on Saturday, and so lost my dad. But I tell you, it was great to be able to be beside him, hold his hand, and he slipped into heaven.
And like you said, he went and, very peacefully, and that's what we all hope for.
So absolutely. But it's good to be back here in studio, and always good to have Kurt with us. And normally we have different guests in a lot of times, but today we're actually going to be talking about Kurt's end of things with mortgages. So first of all, just, man, how are things going here? We're in the second quarter.
It surprises some people. A lot of people have picked up on it. Rates have gone up. Every now and then I'll get a phone call. Somebody said, well, I want that 2.75. I said, well, we're about 7 months late. It's gone. Rates are up. As the TV announcers, they're up in the high fours and the low fives, which is a surprise. But if you look back to prior to COVID, that's where the rates were at that time anyhow. Mm-hmm. The only difference there is the homes are $150,000, $200,000 more money that you're borrowing.
Right.
Which is causing what I call a little bit of sticker shock when you're saying, well, I need this payment, but you can't get there because of the rate. It's making people reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing what the Feds wanted it to do. It's slowing the purchasing of some items down, but it's not affecting home purchases.
Right.
We still don't have near enough homes, and there's still a backlog of people wanting to buy. So 5% is still a great rate. You and
sure.
I are old enough to understand that that's a really good rate.
Absolutely, absolutely. So speaking of rate, I'm sure if not the first question, the second question is, how do I get the best rate in this climate?
I like that question because it all determines about who you are, not about where you're getting the money. We're pretty much all going to give you the same kind of rate. Where the things may change is the closing costs that come with it. But your rate is determined primarily by your credit history, your credit character, as they call it, the three C's. And your credit character is determined by your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me that many people don't know how to manage their credit or even know what their score means. So the higher your score is, and the way the three companies work, in the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to do loans, they rate everything in groups of 20. For example, 660, 680, 700, 720, 740. Once you get up to above 740, 760, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Now, many people think you have to have a lot of debt to have that kind of score. No, you can have three or four items and have a 780. It's how you manage that debt, and it's what type of debt do you have. I have people that have, you know, eight or nine cards. They never use them. They have no car payment. They just have a mortgage payment, and they got a score of a 680, and they can't figure out why. We pay everything on time.
Mm-hmm.
Your score is determined by how you manage all types of credit, installment loans, credit card loans, and mortgages. If you're not using them, they got no way to give you points.
Gotcha.
And we've talked about this. We've actually done a whole show about credit score, how to manage it. The first thing I think you need to do if you're going to want to get a mortgage, go find out what your score is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple simple ways to do it. They have these free online services. You can go in and get them. Don't trust so much the score. Just look at how everything's paid and how things are set inside that system. So you have an idea of what's going on with your credit. You have an idea if somebody's reported you late and you didn't know about that. That happened to me about 8 years ago. Somebody was reporting me late on a mortgage I didn't even own anymore, but they were still reporting me. And when I did a check, I said, this is crazy. My score dropped 60 points.
And sometimes, man, it's almost impossible to get that corrected. I mean, it takes a lot of diligence.
They've kind of modified that. Okay. Over the last couple of years, there's a simple way to get in there, and within 30 days, they'll get it fixed, and they'll get it taken care of. It can actually be done. You need to also know, if you're looking to get the best rate, what goes into your score. 37% of your score is how you pay your bills on time. 34% of your score is how you manage your credit cards. And I've said this over and over and over again. Have credit cards. Use the credit cards. Pay them off every month. Or put $100 on them and pay them $50 and leave it at $50 and then pay them $5 a month. You're going to have to pay a little bit of interest. But that little bit of interest you pay on $50 mm-hmm. is a whole lot better than paying the interest you have to be on a $400,000 mortgage.
Sure.
Lenders, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have these rules out that are called lender loan level pricing adjustments. An adjustment is a 80% loan to value versus 90. Cash out versus no cash out, single family home versus a condo. Each one of those have hits. Cost to the loan, it could be 0.25%, could be as much as 1.5%. If you want to buy an investment property, and we'll talk about those later, they charge you 2.125% of the loan amount just because it's an investment property. Well, if your score gets in the middle of that, that could go to 4%. Well, on a $400,000 house, that's $8,000. So pay a little bit on the $50 card versus paying it over here.
Right.
Manage your credit cards well. What they look for on when you manage them is use 40% of what the limit is. If you can't pay it down, raise the limit, but don't spend it. If you got a $5,000 card and you've got $3,000 on it, raise it to 6, keep the 3. Manage the card, and it will help you get a better score, which will help you get a better rate. And it's just constantly paying attention to what your scores are. So mm-hmm. once every 3 to 6 months, look at it. See what somebody's doing. They're free. They don't cost nothing.
How many times do you find discrepancies? You're with a client and they look and you both find out there is invalid information on a report?
50%.
Wow, that high.
50%. There'll be somebody that will report something that doesn't belong. They'll report that it was paid off and it's not paid off, or it isn't paid off. And
it was.
I mean, there's just mistakes that are made. They're pretty normal. They're normally an easy fix right. in most cases. Now, when you start getting into judgments and bankruptcies and stuff like that, many people think a bankruptcy stays with you for 10 years. It stays on your credit report for 10 years. It stays as an effect to your credit for 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. After that, it loses any impact unless it will come back if you start maxing your cards out and missing a couple payments. Then it's showing a history. And all of a sudden, it has, through the algorithms, it'll come back and it will affect your score.
So how does it work? I mean, you've got Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion.
Right.
So do they look at TransUnion more? Do they look at Equifax more?
They call it the mid-score. They okay. take all three, take the highest one, throw it away, the lowest one, throw it away, and it's the mid-score. So if somebody is, let's say you're a 714, and you got one at a 740, and you got the other one at a 700. Well, that's 6 points. Can mean $4,000 or $5,000,
mm-hmm.
just in extra fees on a loan. And this isn't fees at affordable interest mortgage charge. These are Fannie Mae freeze.
Sure.
I can go in there and I can show you within a 5 to 7 day span on normally how to pick up them 6 points. It's really simple. It's just managing the report, or you can be paying attention and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever want to know some of the basic rules, just give me a call. I'll walk you through them. But your credit score is the one thing that can control your rate more than anything, more right. than even the lender you go to.
Right.
It's very important. It's easy to manage once you understand it, but they don't teach us how to understand it.
Sure. And Kurt's number, by the way, is 720-895-0500. And we've said this hundreds of times over the years, but it's never too early to start the conversation if you're out looking for a home.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, even if it's, you think, hey, it may be 6 months or a year, it may take you 6 months, a year to get some things with credit straight. So,
or to have your bid accepted.
Exactly. So, hey, to come in and just sit down for an initial consultation, man's a win-win for both of you.
So you have a game plan. And I actually have a whole folder full of folks that we're walking through the steps to get them to where they're available to buy. They've taken mm-hmm. advantage of that. Okay, I'm not here. I want to go here. Here's what I want to do. So we start building a game plan for that. And within 6 months, we're there. They start looking actually at buying a home, 4 months into the deal because it's going to take them a while to get their bid accepted.
Right. And they pull a report like the day of closing or day before closing. Do they pull a fresh report?
They pull what they call as a soft pull.
Okay.
And a soft pull is just designed to see if you've inquired for more debt. Because some people, even though we advise them not to, when you're in the middle of a mortgage, don't go out and buy a car or a refrigerator.
Or furniture.
Yeah. Sorry, Jake. But just don't do that because it's debt that they have to count. I have a guy that's buying, he's doing a $1.2 million home. Well, while we're redoing his primary, he just went out and bought four pieces of property in Kansas. Now, he's not closing on those before this one, but they want to see what they are going to be to see if it still factors into the ratios.
Gotcha.
They can't say no, but they have the right to ask for them. So it puts things into question.
Sure.
Because you haven't closed on those, so they can't count them. But they have the right to ask.
Right. And then most of the time, if people do see something wrong on a report, real quick, do they just write a letter to the credit bureau? How does that work?
On your credit report, it will tell you at the bottom how to send a letter and how to send an email and who to call. But once you send the letter, you can send a copy to the credit reporting agency, and they have 30 days to have an answer for you. If you don't like the answer, you can then contest it. You can get a hold of the CFPB. Biggest complaint that one of the biggest complaints they have is erroneous credit reports that aren't fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they can be taken care of.
Sure. All right, before we break, let's talk about mortgage insurance. Is it bad to pay that?
Depends on what you're looking at doing. Let's say you want to buy a $300,000 condo and you only have $5,000 down, maybe $10,000. Well, you're going to get mortgage insurance. So you don't not buy the property because you got to pay mortgage insurance. Because when you have mortgage insurance, in most cases, like with FHA, the rates are considerably better because they have the insurance. When you add the insurance payment and the mortgage payment, it's going to be up there where it's, you know, at a higher rate. But you've got the property.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many people over the last 20 years that I will put them into a loan with the mortgage insurance, especially in today's market, wait 6 months and refinance them out, or wait a year and refinance them out and drop the mortgage insurance. You would have never had the opportunity to own the home had you not paid for it.
Sure.
Now, there are also some times that at 85 or 90%, you can get a loan without mortgage insurance, because most people believe that if you have mortgage insurance, it's anything that's above 80%. That's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on your budget. How does it fit into your budget? How does it work? Some lenders will have a higher debt-to-income ratio because it has mortgage insurance. They understand it because the bank's being protected in that. If you default, the bank still gets paid. So that's the benefit of it. Like I said, the down payment is another portion of it. The less you have down, the more chance you're going to have to get it. And the last one is how long you're going to stay in it to pay it.
Right.
You know, if I'm paying an extra $100 a month for mortgage insurance and I'm only going to do it for a year, but I own the house, I want to own the house.
Sure.
Because the house is going to appreciate more than $100 a month.
Absolutely. Kurt Rogers, our guest. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. When we come back, hey, what is the best loan for you? How do you find that out? Maybe you're a first-time home buyer. How can you get a low down payment? We'll answer that right after this.
The physical injuries, emotional damage, and economic damages of your case should be accounted for, and sometimes that means going to trial. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law is willing to go to court for your personal injury case at no additional cost. Other personal injury attorneys will expect extra money when they take your case to trial. In some cases, they won't do the extra work at all. You deserve an attorney who will get you adequate compensation. He will do his best to get you the fair value of your case and will even take it to trial if necessary. Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law works on a contingency rather than a retainer. That means they get paid once you get the money and take the same percentage whether you take the money or not. Kevin Flesh wants more for you. Set up a free consultation with personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh to get the legal guidance you deserve. Call 303-806-8886. That's 303-806-8886.
Now's the time to save at the Outdoorsman's Attic. Here are just a few of the discounts you will find. All fishing gear and sleeping bags, 30% off. All Sitka gear and packs, 25% off. Gun accessories, decoys, archery, selected optics, all 20% off. And if you've got some camping, hunting, fishing gear you want to turn into cash, take it to the Outdoorsman's Attic. Shop now, save now at the Outdoorsman's Attic, 2650 West Hampton in Sheridan. Family owned and operated. Great gear, great service, all at the Outdoorsman's Attic.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out, or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees? Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. Trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra costs. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt Rogers joins us in studio today. 720-895-0500 is the number. And we're just talking about mortgages today. And so, Kurt, I said before we went to break there, what's the best loan for me? And that takes some time sitting down with someone, first of all, that really cares, because I'm telling you, there are some people that they just open their little book and here's their couple of loans they sell. And
they're like car salesmen.
One of those will be the best loan for you.
They're like car salesmen. How much you want to put down? What do you want your payments to be?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more to a home loan than that. And I'm not talking against car. It's not that simple. When you're looking, what's the best loan for you? Well, what are you looking at doing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at staying in this home for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, having a family? Will it meet the needs? Will a condo work? Will a single family home work? You know, what ranch? What are you looking for?
Right.
And then, depending on what you can qualify for, there's many people that can qualify for VA loans, and unless you ask them, they won't tell you they're a vet.
Mm-hmm.
And the VA loan is one of the best loans. If you're in the military for any length of time, that's the best loan, in my opinion, you can get. Because it has no monthly mortgage insurance. It goes to 100% of value. You don't have to put any money down. And you're going to get some of the lowest rates you've ever seen because you're a veteran. It's a benefit that you have. Then there's the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and I'll refer to them several times, but they basically govern all mortgage loans. And they're owned by the government, as is FHA. They're backed by. So when you're dealing with those, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have two loan programs called Home Ready and Home Possible. They will go up to 97% of the value of the home with no mortgage insurance, mm-hmm. or with a very discounted mortgage insurance on that payment. So for first-time home buyers, for somebody that's just getting started, that's a great loan to get into. So you can get something and get into it and get moving. The ratios are up to as high as 49.99% back, what's called back-end ratios. So they're pretty liberal in that area.
Okay.
You go to FHA, and FHA, you can go up to 55%. FHA's got better rates. They only require 3.5% down. So all of those, each one of those loans might fit perfect for you. Then it comes down to, okay, how much am I want to put down? If I'm first-time home buyer, I don't have a lot. There are first-time home buyer programs to where you only have to put $1,000 or $2,000 down. Now, don't think you're going to get the best rate with that because there's a lot mm-hmm. of risk. But that's another. Will that fit what you want to do for short-term and long-term? You need to sit with somebody that can walk you through that process and then show you two or three different products that fit.
Right.
It's your job to pick the loan. It's not mine.
Sure. Now, you mentioned, like, how much down, what do you want the payment to be? How do you go about, let's take a young couple buying their first house, and they say, well, we think we can afford $3,000. And then all of a sudden you work through things and they can afford $1,800. I mean, what's kind of the ratio you work through? What do you like to see that payment ratio?
Well, you normally want the payment to be at about 35% to 40% of the what they
take home.
Take home, or know what they gross as to what their mortgage payment is going to be.
Okay.
The ideal number to Fannie Mae is 33, but 35% to 40% is pretty much the norm. That's okay. But then it's what other debt you have that doesn't take you above 50%. But when I'm sitting with a customer there, where are you living at now? What are you paying now? What are you comfortable with now? Mm-hmm. Now, understand, okay, I'm renting and I'm paying $19.95. I can go to $3,000. Okay. You probably are saying you want too much. You're going to tell me I want to buy a $300,000-$400,000 house and I want to pay $3,000 a month. Well, the payment's going to be a lot less than that. So it lets me know that they don't understand that realm, and that's mm-hmm. great. I'd rather somebody say $3,000 a month and they're paying $22,000, and somebody saying I want $22,000 and it's going to take $3,000.
Yeah.
The other thing when I'm looking at them is what fits in their budget. What other debts do they have? What works for them to get into the loan that fits their budget? It's not my money. I've had people say, well, I can afford this payment. I say, well, that's a whole lot more home than you're willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, here's $600,000. It fits at $3,000 a month. Well, I ain't buying a $600,000 house.
Yep.
So it's a lot of Q&A going back and forth as to what fits for them. Where do they want to live? And do they have, in today's market, what it takes to get their offer accepted? That's always a new little term that has to be. Mm-hmm. Or if we're going to be buying a home, we got to make sure we make you attractive enough to that lister.
Sure. So is it ever good to rent? I mean, if somebody goes, oh, I'm renting and I'm happy renting. I mean, why would anybody want to rent? And some people just say, I don't want to be committed to a house or yard. You know, some of the things they have to do, I don't know. But, man.
The funny, you bring up, and I read an article about a week ago on this, that more millennials are wanting not to rent, wanting to buy. And they really want to get into it. So there's many people that are renting that don't want to do that anymore. Mm. And they're paying more in rent than they would if they were to purchase a home. Even at 5%, they're still paying more money. But the problem with that is getting them into the market to buy, there's not enough homes.
Yeah.
There's so many people that have so much more money willing to pay over asking, they don't even get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where John and I have talked about when they say the housing market's going to crash.
Right.
No, it ain't. There's hundreds of thousands of people just sitting back waiting to where they don't have to make an offer higher than the asking price, or that somebody will look at them because they've got very little money down. There's a whole group of people waiting to start buying homes, and they can't because there's too many other people with the money. So I think there's more people that want to buy than to rent. The disadvantage, in my opinion, from renting is you are paying somebody else's equity. As you make a payment, you're buying their loan down. You're also allowing the appreciation to go into their pocket. So you're losing twice as much, and you got nothing to gain for it. There's an advantage, say, well, I rent, I can move whenever I want, and I don't have to take care of anything. You are correct. They can raise their rent anytime they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They can tighten their rules, and you have no control. You don't rent a car.
Right, exactly.
You own a car. You don't rent a TV. I mean, you don't rent all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you rent a house that is appreciating? The one thing that has always appreciated for the last 70 years is a house. Can't say that about too many other things.
Right.
Renting it and let somebody else make the money, that's just long term. Now, if you never know where you're going to be, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Is there any more of these out there? You used to see these, you know, rent to buy, like you pay a certain amount.
It's lease options.
Is that?
Yeah. Still actually, available? It's quite popular. It's a good way to kind of get into it. If there'll be people, I did it for years when I had rental properties. I would rent it out, say, if you want to buy it, throw me an extra $200 a month. I'll use that as your down payment. We're good to go. It's a great way to get started if you can find the owner that is willing to do that. There are some programs out now. There's one national company that if you want to rent to buy, you can go in and they'll qualify you. They'll put you in the place, and you have first right of refusal for 5 years. They can't kick you out. You know the rent's going to move X per dollars per year.
Right.
And whenever you want to buy it, you can buy it, and you already know what the price is before you buy it. If somebody else comes in to them wants to buy it, they can't have it. You have the first right to say yes or no, and you're there for 5 years if you want to be. It's a great program, but very few people know about it.
Sure. Again, Kurt Rogers, our guest. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500 is the number, aimortgage.net.
All right, for those self-employed folks, I know
like us.
That's why most of your hair is grayer, probably dealing with that. But what's the big challenge in the climate we're in right now? Is it any more than it was a year ago?
It's actually a little bit better. There's more programs designed for them. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have loosened a few guidelines, and they're starting to look at the loans a little bit different. But there's, I think it's 42-43% of the workforce is self-employed. You know, commission bonuses, salespeople, entrepreneurs that, you know, start a restaurant. So their income isn't so much fixed. They might W-2 themselves and then take the profits at the end. So what the lenders are required to do on a self-employed person is provable risk is what they call it. We have to. There's a risk with you being self-employed. That's why they require a minimum of 2 years. They need to see 2 years' tax returns. They need to see P&Ls. These are just part. If you're in business for any length of time, you're going to learn that real quick. Right. You got to have these things. You need to know what they are. We've done many loans with John, and John's stack of paperwork, seriously, is 6 inches tall. But he's been down the road. He just, here's what you need. Here it is, and we're done. It moves faster than somebody that's been W-2'd for 20 years. The consistency is income will strike a self-employed borrower quicker than anybody. And that's one thing that many people don't understand in self-employed.
Right.
If you make, and I'll use an example, let's say your company grosses $500,000 for the year, but it nets $100,000. So your income's $100,000. It's not the gross income. It's the net income after expenses. So you make $100,000, and you do that for 2 years. And then 1 year you make $150,000, and then the next year you come back and you make $100,000 again. Going from $100,000 to $150,000 is great. Going from $150,000 to $100,000 is going to hurt you. As far as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are required. Because in their regulations, if your income drops more than 20% as self-employed, they can't count any of it. They think you're going out of business. Wow. Now, that becomes a little bit dangerous. So be careful if you're trying to save taxes. By saving taxes, you can't qualify for the better rates because you can't get them being self-employed. And I see that happen so much. But we make this and we have, I understand you. You know, you have a $1 million house. I understand you got a couple of Mercedes in the driveway. That tells me you make the money, but you're not paying taxes on it. So this is not me. These are the regulations.
Right.
They want to see what you're paying taxes on. And if you're not paying taxes on it, they're not going to give you a loan. That's the difference between maybe 3% and 5.5%.
Yeah.
And that adds up pretty quick.
Sure. Now all we've been through over these last couple of years, there's a lot of people doing something today they were not doing in 2020 or 2021. A lot of people had to switch different types of jobs. How does that hurt you if you were self-employed? You know, you were a painter, let's say, and now you're a roofer or you went to go sell cars or whatever. I mean, how does that hurt the flow of employment? Does it depend how long you were off or what?
Those are great questions. First of all, when you leave one employer to go to another employer, being off of work for a period of time is acceptable. Certain examples, people I have in the system, they've been a nurse for a period of time. They wouldn't take the COVID shot, so they got laid off, and it took them 6 weeks to 2 months before they found a place they could go to work without taking the shot. It's quite acceptable. That's a reason. If you take the time off for 30 days before you find another job, that's understandable. Took a couple days, regroup, go back to work. If you take 6 months off, that's a problem. Well, I need to unwind. I understand that. Maybe you did. I understand it's going to be a problem going forward if you're self-employed.
Okay.
W-2 may be a little bit easier, but it's still a problem if you take more than 60 days. Once you go past that 60-day mark, there has to be a good justifiable reason for the lender to say, I'm going to give you another loan.
Right.
So that's one issue. Changing from this job to that job, if you're W-2'd, not normally a big problem. You can work around it. Whether you're becoming a salesperson over here that's W-2'd or a line person over here that's W-2'd, W-2 income is, and it stays pretty consistent, they're going to count it.
Okay.
If you get a pay raise on the new job, that's great. If your pay goes down, it's going to be the new pay. But when you're self-employed, if you go from, let's take the plumber, and I'm a plumber and I'm self-employed and I'm 1099. Now I go to work for a guy, then I'm W-2'd. and I worked there for a year with him, I'm W-2'd. I got a better chance of getting the loan with that, even though I might get paid bonuses and commissions, than if I was W-2'd and went 1099 for a year.
Right.
When you're self-employed, if you can't keep that W-2 income, any 1099 money doesn't count for 2 years. None of it. They won't use it.
Jeez.
So that's what they don't tell you. And I understand the mentality behind it, but there's a cost to it on all the stuff you try to do on the other side. So you have to make a decision what works for you. I'm not pro or con. I'm telling you how it works.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Rogers, our guest. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. When we come back, hey, have you thought about buying an investment property or a second home? We'll tell you how right after this.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right. Since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production at 2233 South Monaco Parkway. Features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Hey, Dan. You know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney, and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
This is AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. Once again, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500 is the number. Kurt Rogers in studio with us. We're kind of just going through mortgages and loans and self-employed. How does that work for you? Now we're going to talk about investment properties. So, Kurt, you have that conversation with people and they call you and they say, hey, think about buying an investment property. What's that conversation look like?
First thing I ask them, have you ever had an investment property? Okay. Second question I ask them is, what are you looking for the investment property to do? Now, some people will say, I'm gonna do a second home and take it as an Airbnb. It's technically investment property.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at an investment property, you must remember it's an investment. It's not a home. It's not a car. It's not your clothes. And what I mean by that is you don't buy something you like.
Right.
You're not looking as an investment property as, well, yeah, I could live there or I need to go fix the yard. No, it's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy stocks and bonds, you don't ask your financial planner as to which ones you're buying. You want him to give you ones that are producing. So what the key ingredient to a investment property is location, location, location. It doesn't change. Where are you going to put it? What's moving in town? And a good example, we used to have Mike Hill was here.
Sure.
He would say, would you buy a property out on Colfax and 225? Most people say, no. Why? Because, but guess what? the home values out there have gone up so much because of the four hospitals. Mm-hmm. Location, okay. It's an investment. I don't have to live there. Is it paying? Is it making me money?
Right.
If it's not, I don't want to keep it. It has to go away. So those things are important. The other thing people will talk about when they're looking at investment, I said, you understand there's going to be some cost to keep upkeep on it. So just because you have a $500 or $600 cash flow doesn't mean you get to keep $500 or $600 every month.
Right.
And there's only two reasons to buy investment property. Is it going to cash flow, or can I turn it real quick and get some money out of it? That's the only two reasons. It's an investment. What's it making? Money in, money out.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the statistics of being a landlord on investment property, you must figure out that 3 to 4% of the time that property is going to be vacant. The lenders only count 75% of the income because they think you're going to spend 25% of it for maintenance and for vacancies. These are numbers you just need to know going in. So when you're running your budget to say, this is what I think will work. So as we walk through the process on investment properties, whether it's a single family, a condo, or a fourplex, what's the numbers? How many people do I need? Does it still fit? Mm-hmm. How much am I going to spend? And there's formulas to get to there. So it takes a little time. I think investment properties are great. But again, it's location, location, location. Know your options. Some people say, I want to buy a house. I say, that's great. It'll cash flow at this. For that money, you could go out and buy a fourplex. Well, it's more money, but it grosses more profit.
Sure.
And an example of that I have is I have somebody that purchased a $500,000 fourplex, and they're making $1,000 per unit. So they're making $4,000 on a $500,000 loan. If they were to buy a $400,000 house, they would make less money, mm-hmm. even though they save money.
Sure.
They're netting $1,300 a month in cash flow. Once they pay the management fee and the maintenance fees on it, they're still netting over $800 a month. That's $10,000 a year.
Sure.
Plus, with investment property, the tenant's paying the loan down, plus you got appreciation going on the other side. So you're winning three different ways on this deal.
Right.
Investment properties are great, but understand how they're supposed to work for you. Learn what your options are. Learn the areas. Talk to, and I'll say this again when we talk about realtors, find a good one. Don't find somebody brand new. Do yourself a favor. They are well worth their weight if you find yourself a good realtor. I have a handful of them. I know many, but there's some that are just really good. They're there to help you fit what
right.
you want, not for them. Because whether you buy a fourplex or you buy a single family, they get paid the same. The job's a lot easier if they give you what works.
Sure.
So when someone's looking at investment property and things, and then how does it work? What's the difference in the mortgage side of it, whether you're going to live in it for a while or you're going to stay in your current home and it's a total rental? I mean, how does that work?
If there's some quick parameters that lenders look at. Let's say you live in a $600,000 house and you want to go buy a $700,000 rental. They're going to go like, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be your primary and you're going to, no, that's not. Now, most people will say, I'm going to do that. That's going to be my primary. I'm going to rent this.
Right.
But with all the intent over here to turn it into a rental. The lenders, the number one thing that is reported to the CFPB for fraud for the last 3 years is rental fraud. People saying, I'm buying it as a primary, but turning it into a rental. They're very aware of the different angles that go about. Mm-hmm. So they scrutinize that quite heavily. So if you want to buy a rental, it has to look and act like a rental. Now, if you're buying a duplex or a fourplex, you can buy that as a single family. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. You can buy a duplex or a fourplex as long as you're going to move into one. Now, that doesn't mean you move out of a $600,000 house and move into a $600,000
right.
duplex. That doesn't make sense to them. But if you're living in a $400,000 house, you want, and I have people doing this, they'll buy a duplex, keep it a year, turn around, and then go buy another one, move out of that one, move into the next one. They're building themselves a portfolio of rental properties, whether it's a duplex or a fourplex. So the lenders are going to be cautious about what you're telling them the truth. Is it really a rental property? And in most cases, and many people don't understand this, that when you buy a rental, it's not affecting your debt-to-income ratios in most cases because the amount of rent you're collecting is going to offset the payment, and the lender, like I said, counts 75% of it. So you're not going to hurt yourself if you buy a $600,000 house and that payment's $3,500 because you're going to collect more than $3,500 in rent. Those are the kind of the numbers they look at. So that's not something that's going to hurt you there. That's, right. It's actually a pretty good idea. But they, when you're buying a rental, understand that there's more fees to it. There's more cost to it because the risk is higher. More people foreclose out of rentals than they do out of primary residence.
Right. Again, Kurt Rogers, our guest. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs, 720-895-0500. Now, we've talked about this before where it's a fourplex. You've got three renters. And I guess what you would pay to, or just those three renters,
right,
their rental agreements, if that was enough to cover the mortgage, you're good.
That's correct. I've got customers where they have a fourplex and they're living one. One of the guy is a VA. The property was $1.2 million. He's living in one unit. He's got the other three rented out. The money he's collecting on the other three pays the mortgage payment. He's living there for free. He's getting the tax write-off. He's getting the appreciation. And he's getting them paying the loan down. He plans on staying there for a year to 2 years and do it again. It's a plan. He's single. Right. He can do that. It works out well. I've got married couples that are doing that. So there are ways to make that work and have all of it fit into your budget that works out.
Right. So when you're looking at the different types of loans for investment property.
There's lots.
There's a lot of choices. And again, you've got to have somebody like yourself that's going to take the time, sit down with them, explain all the different options, and find the right option. Because it doesn't really matter if you probably found the right property if you get the wrong loan, right?
It's the wrong loan.
Yeah.
And it's going to hurt you. When you're looking at the different types, there are several different types. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac actually have some great loans for investment properties. Understand, like I said before, they have these LLPAs. They have hits to it. When you're buying an investment property, most lenders want a minimum of 20% down. Some want 25%. You're not going to walk into an investment property with 10% down. Or you might walk in with 5, because there are lenders out there that would do 85, but don't anticipate getting that super low rate because the risk is higher. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac do that. You can also do what's called, and this is well for bank statement or for self-employed, you can do a bank statement loan to buy investment property or even to buy a primary. And the way that works is they will look at 1 year or 2 years of your personal or business bank statements. They will count that as income. If they're looking at your personal, they'll count 80 to 90% of it as income. If you're looking at your business bank statement, they will count anywhere from 70 to 80% depending on the type of job that you have.
Right.
But they'll count that as income. And then they have a loan that will fit for your program. They can either do an ARM, they can do a 30-year fix. But they don't even want to look at your tax returns. They just want to look at your bank statements. So I have many people that, because they own, I have one guy who owns 17 properties. That's his job. So everything's a bank statement. That's how he gets loans. He doesn't go through the normal system because he's not reporting it all on his taxes. He's taking the tax break that he's getting. So this is the only way he gets the loan. So for him, that system works well.
Right.
So there's different ways to go about doing that. Bank statement's one. There's another loan out, and it's been out now for about a year and a half, 2 years. It's called the DSCR. And it's a debt servicing loan. And the way it works is if you go to buy or refinance a rental property, as long as what you're receiving in a lease agreement from the tenant or tenants is more than what the mortgage payment is, and you have a 680 score or higher, you're approved. Now, I'll say that again because most people didn't hear it the first time. If you go out and buy a property and you collect $2,400 in rent and your mortgage payment's $2,350 and you have a credit score of above 680, they will approve you for that kind of loan as long as your ratios fit.
Wow.
So that loan
is a good deal.
That lets everybody know that these banks are confident in the rental market. And as you watched on Channel 9 last night, they were talking about rentals. Rental properties and investment are going up. The cost to rent a property is going to continue to go. They anticipate mortgage payments to go up maybe 3 to 5%. They anticipate 10 to 15% rent go up. That's a lot because we're already pretty high as it is. Mm-hmm. And that's all because of demand. while we might not like it, there's still a lot of people moving in from the east and the west that are willing to pay those prices because they're cheaper than where they came from.
Exactly.
They're expensive here, but they're cheaper than where they came from.
Kurt Rogers is our guest. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Hey, if you thought about turning a second home into an Airbnb, we're going to find out how to do that right after this.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today 303-708-8050 or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And we are back. You're listening to Your Money Matters right here on Haystack Help Radio, and we thank you for being with us. Kurt Rogers is with us. If you're just getting in the car, turn on the radio. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, their number is 720-895-0500. We're just talking about mortgages and loans and all kinds of things with real estate here today. So, Kurt, what about this whole, man, you think of all the different terms we know now that we didn't know just a few years ago.
Yeah, 3-4 years
Airbnb.
Ago.
Airbnb. Yeah. We would have been, what?
What is? What's an Airbnb? And when you first heard about it, somebody's going to, I'm going to buy property and rent it out to all kinds of people to come in.
People going to be in my house.
I ain't doing that.
Wearing my clothes.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right. So can you buy a house like that with the sole purpose of maybe using it as an Airbnb?
Absolutely. They've taken it to the degree now that they used to not count it on your tax returns. If you will report it on your tax return, you can show it for 2 years, they'll count it as income. And it's not steady income. Because an Airbnb rents and doesn't rent.
Sure.
So what? Unlike somebody who's paying $2,500, these folks aren't paying $2,500. They normally will pay more, but it's not a consistent number. So Airbnbs are a great way to buy a second home if you're willing to Airbnb it out. Because I'm looking at one in Arizona to do that. I'll go down there for a little bit, rent it out the rest of the time. Make it pay for itself. Let somebody else drive the payoff down,
sure.
And I'm collecting the appreciation on the other end. Somebody else's money helps me have more.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a pretty good idea. But what's changed with the Airbnbs, as smart as the banks are, they've also smart enough to understand that people are doing that. So it's really not a second home that's Airbnb. It's a rental property. So about 2 months ago, they raised the cost to do a second home anywhere from 1 to 4 points. Now, there's nobody in the mortgage industry that likes this. If you want to buy a second home and it's a $500,000 second home, there's a fee of 1% of that up to 4% of that, depending on the rest of your FICO, that has to be paid either in cash or built into the rate, unless you do the asset manager. The asset manager does second homes, don't care.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But with any kind of second home now, there's more fees to do that because the banks are understanding what's really going on with the product. They're allowing you to count it, but they're now going to make you pay for it up front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's new. And they do the same thing with on investment properties. And when you want to do an investment property, because the risk is higher, they charge you points. 2.125 up to 4.25. Again, the asset manager doesn't do that. So it's those kind of fees have made those products so much more expensive to get to, but people are still doing them. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they can still make money.
Sure. And people are starting to get on this concept recently. A few weeks back, you did a seminar on it, and
yep.
A lot of people came to that. And, man, I think it's just opening eyes and getting people to understand really how it works. Because when you first hear it, you're thinking, how does that work? Is it too good to be true? You know, usually if you want to pay something off early, you got to change something in the way your spending habits, and nobody likes to do that. So, but, man, I mean, it's helped so many.
The asset manager does that, and you brought up the last seminar we did. We're actually getting ready to do another one. So if you're interested in sitting down and learning about the asset manager, we're going to have a little food, and we're going to spend about an hour, and I'm going to have one set up here shortly. Just give me a call, 720-895-0500. I'll let you know when we're planning it. You'll get an invite to it. But the asset manager does just that. Without changing one penny of what you're doing, you make X amount of dollars, you put it in the bank. Do the same thing with this loan. Make your mortgage payment, leave the money sit there. You will pay off your home faster because it's a simple interest loan. And what that means is as the payoff goes down, your payment goes down, which means if you're paying $2,000 a month and your payment's two, and then all of a sudden it goes to $1,950, mm-hmm. you're still paying two, which means you got an extra $50 going to principal, which means the next month it's going to go down more, which means your payment's going to go down more. What most people don't realize as that happens, so does the amount of interest you pay to get the loan. And as your interest paid goes down, your interest rate goes down. Our customers have an effective rate of anywhere between 2.5% and 3% because you're not paying all that interest like you do in a normal loan.
Sure.
It's all paid up front. If you look at, do yourself a favor, take your mortgage statement out and look at how much your principal payment is, how much your interest payment is. And divide your interest payment into what you borrowed. That's the percentage of profit you're paying them. It's not three. It's not 3.5. You're paying 60 to 65% of what you borrow in interest. The asset manager doesn't do that. It allows you to pay less interest, which means you pay a lower rate. And in addition to that, it gives you access to your cash. How many times have you had to refinance your home to pay off debt mm-hmm. or to refinance your home for an emergency? Or to refinance your home to go buy an investment property. You're spending more money to borrow the money that's in the equity of your home.
Right.
With the asset manager, that doesn't happen. As you pay your home down, let's say you have a original loan amount of $500,000, you've got it down to three, and you need $70,000 to do a home repair. Write the check. For 30 years, you have access to your equity. You never have to go back and refinance. You never have to go back and pay more money to get money that's already built into your home. This one, it's already there. You do it one time, it's good for 30 years. Write the check. You want to buy a car, go write the check. Now, just don't go write checks for anything. That's a bad
idea. That's a bad idea. I'm good.
Yeah, don't let your kids know that you got an open checkbook because you're in trouble. But that's how good the loan is. And that's where people are seeing with these Airbnbs or surprise maintenance to their house or doing home improvements. This asset manager allows people to do that. You and the two of you sit down or the one of you sit down and figure out, yeah, this is what it's going to do. I can do this. This is much easier.
Right. And you can do that as well for self-employed people that we brought up earlier.
Self-employed, this loan, and John Rush has talked about it many times, the asset manager for self-employed people is perfect. Because if you have a bad month or you need some money to keep the business going, write the check. Mm-hmm. I did it between 2008 and 2010. I had the loan. My business was struggling with the mortgage meltdown. I was able to keep going because I had access to my equity to keep my business afloat. My neighbor was unemployed for 18 months. From 2008 to 2010, had no money coming in. But because she had the loan, her house payment was paid, her car payment was paid, her credit score stayed up, she lost nothing. Mm-hmm. 18 months later, she gets a job, she goes back to work, still pays off the home faster than her 30-year mortgage, pays less interest, she never took a hit. From 2008 to 2010, 7 million people foreclosed with 30% equity in their home. They couldn't get to it to make those payments. There's only been one person ever to foreclose with the asset manager. It really does help. And if you want more about it, give me a call. We're going to be doing a seminar, and I can invite you.
All right. 720-895-0500 is the number. So last 2 or 3 minutes here. But, man, putting your forecaster hat on, looking into your crystal ball, these next few years are going to be interesting in the financial world, aren't they?
very much so. If you listen to the naysayers, I read an article the other day that they were talking that there's 1.5 million people late on their mortgage. Let's put that in this perspective. How many people own a home? You're telling me 1.5% is scaring you? Mm-hmm. Most people, the normal numbers are anywhere from 4 to 5%. Of all mortgages across the country, 4 to 5% of the people are late their mortgage. That doesn't mean that there's a housing crash. There's no reason to believe that we're going to go from only having 1,200 homes on the market to all of a sudden we have a crash and the values fall down.
Right.
People want to buy homes. They can't buy them. There's, if you haven't looked or if you haven't gone out, talk to a realtor about how long it takes to get an offer, how long it takes to find a home, what you have to bring to buy a house. It's unheard of some of the things going on. They just changed the new purchase contract and put some language in it that is not favorable to the buyer. And when you're talking to your realtor, you need to ask about those things. So the market is going to stay strong through 2022 into 2023. Will it eventually level? Yeah, of course it will. It can't keep going up at 10, 12%. It just can't. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's going to crash at 40.
Right.
There's just too many people that want to buy homes, that want to move. Like I said, the millennials are really wanting to get in the market.
Yeah. Last question. A lot of people did these PPP loans, and then they took forbearance on some of their loans, all that. Have you seen any of that, the forbearance of skipping some payments, come back to haunt anybody now?
Few people, not understanding the rules. I had one guy, he was told to come out of forbearance, and he was told to come out in October, that he was coming out in October, so he sent them 3 months checks. Because to come out to get another loan, you need to have 3 months. So he paid what he thought was October, November, December. They didn't record it till November, December, January, showed him a 30-day late out of forbearance. They never told. He sent him the money. They cashed the check in October. They cashed all three of them in October, but they didn't count it for October. They, on their records, they counted it for November. And because of that, he had a 30-day late. So, yeah, there are some dangers, but that's rare. Most of the time, they're all working pretty well. Understand, you can be in forbearance and come out of it. All you have to do is make three payments. If you're doing a conventional, it has to be 12. If you're doing an FHA, it's three.
Okay.
Or vice versa.
Any disclosure?
NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
You're good at that.
I've been doing it 20 years.
And he's good in the mortgage world too, folks. Hey, if you need some help, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500. Let him know you heard him here on the show, and we'd appreciate that as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Get out and enjoy this beautiful weather. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.